Now let us open the Word of God and let's turn to, you know what, you know, right, from last week's sermon, the book of Psalms chapter 51. We know the occasion when David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had conspired for the murder of her husband. And we see this very detailed account of repentance. And I believe it is the most intense in all of Scripture about repentance, his example of repentance. And last week we looked at the fact that David sinned knowing better. And just about all of the sins we commit, we know it is wrong. David not only knew it was wrong, he had been taught, he had been trained by God in all of his life in the Torah, and the ways of God, and the ways of God's wisdom, and yet he just went right through that barrier and he sinned. And he sinned against the God he loved. He rebelled against the God of his heart, whom he hungered for and thirsted for as a deer pants for the water, he wrote about. How could he do it? And God was grieved, and he finally came to grieve himself, because we all know. And I'm sure David had thoughts, if I could only go back to that time on the roof, if I could only go back and relive it, I'd do it all over again a different way. I wouldn't do it at all. How many of you ever been there? Wish you could go back. Well, there are no spiritual back to the futures. You know, there are no sequel movies in a spiritual light for that. You can't go back. So what can we do? What could David do? He couldn't bring the husband back. He couldn't do away with the child. Sin has consequences. Sometimes those consequences are biting. They're hurting. Not only us, but others. So what can we do? Anybody know? Nothing. There is nothing you can do. Oh yes, you can confess your sins. You can repent. But as far as being able to have a do-over, you cannot. There's nothing you can do. But the good news is that there is something that God could do. There's something that God could do. And this is what David is appealing to in verses 6 and 7. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts, and you teach wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me, that God does, with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Father, teach us today. Give us a spirit of repentance. Not so much of regret. We confess our sins and know that you're faithful to forgive. Help us to trust you, God. Convict us of sins that we know we've committed. We know it was wrong. We know we lied. We know we stole. We know we looked at things we should not have. But help us, Lord, to see that there's something that you can do about it. And let us throw ourselves on you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice verse 6 talks about the inner person, the inmost parts. It's in the heart. But notice verse 7, cleanse me. And in the English Standard Version, which is more of a word-for-word translation, I'm reading out of the NIV, which is more of a thought-for-thought. But in the ESV, it says, not cleanse, but purge, purge. It literally means unsin me. Now see, we wish there was something that could have been done. We wish we'd have never done what we did. But there's something God can do, and he appeals to God to unsin him. Isn't that powerful? We never think like that. God, you can unsin me. You know, kids going back to school, sometimes they get lice, right? lousy lice in their heads, right? And they have to go through a process of what? De-lysing, right? They get sprayed or they can go home and get a prescription from, you know, the doctor or whatever. De-lysing. David is saying, God, descend me. Get these critters, this varmint, this pest of sin out of me. Descend me. Unsend me. You never thought that God could do that, did you? As we have regrets, we say, oh, I wish you could. God, you can de this. You can un this. He really can. And this is what David is appealing to. He is appealing in faith, looking to something beyond bulls and goats. He didn't have the clearest picture, but he knew that there was a Redeemer coming, and he put his faith forward. All the bulls and goats and the blood were signs and seals of a greater reality of forgiveness, de-sinning and un-sinning us. And so he looked forward in faith to what we embrace now in a way that is clearer than even David understood, but by faith he reached forward. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop. I'll talk about hyssop a little bit later, but I'll just say a little bit now. It is antiviral. Sin is like a virus. Antibiotics, do you realize that antibiotics cannot kill a virus? Hyssop was a plant, a little bushy plant, a little scraggly plant that grew in the rocks and the crevices in the Middle East. And it had antiviral properties. And God used the hyssop and the blood together. And David is thinking about that. When he says, purge me with hyssop, they would dip the hyssop in the blood and sprinkle the blood. And that's what he's thinking of. He said, God, sprinkle me, antivirus me, delouse me of this sin, unsin me. And my message today is this. Trust in Jesus to purge you and fill you. Trust in Jesus to purge you. You need a purging. He said, purge me with hyssop. Sometimes we'll go on diets and some other things to get purged in our system, right? To clean our system out. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And the goal of this message is that you'll put your faith in Jesus to purge you from your sin and to fill you with his righteousness. That's what we need. We need a purging and a filling. Purging is not enough, as you will see. We got to be purged and filled. The big question, the enigma is this. Because he says in verse 7, in the latter part, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Or whiter than white. How is it that you could become, or is it even physiologically possible for something to become whiter than white or whiter than snow? I want you to think about that. I asked my wife this, and I wanted so badly to tell her, but I wanted to think about it. You'll hear it today, baby. What is whiter than snow? Hold that intention and impatience toward the end of the sermon, and we want to make that very plain to you. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. What is whiter than snow? It's like asking, make me whiter than white. The answer is in two parts. The answer is in the purging and the filling. That you can be made whiter than snow. In the purging part with hyssop, as I explained, it's a cleansing agent. Anybody ever go through a cleansing? Anybody have a colon, what? Oscopy. Oh. And if you're older, especially if you pass 40, 50, you really need to get one. But it's not so cleaned out first. And you have to drink this yucky stuff, right? quarts of it, you know, drink it, and you are purged. You are cleansed. You are cleansed. It's like taking an enema. Anybody ever have an enema? You say, oh, Pastor, how do you have to go to the toilet in this sermon? He said, purge me. That's what he's talking about. You know, sin stinks. Sin corrupts. Your colon is the sewer of your body. Anatomically. The sewer of your body. All kinds of waste collects there. And David's comparing, or I am directly, this purging, this unsinning, to the cleaning out of the garbage of sin that pollutes our whole system. You'll die if you are not purged of the toxins, of the bacteria that is a negative bacteria. David is saying, unsend me, de-send me. It's like saying, debug me. I got a bug, not like I want to use a computer analogy. We all have computers, right? And sometimes, and you run a what kind of program in the background? An anti what? Antivirus, because you know those bugs are, you know, floating around. And you need an antiviral. The hyssop, as I said, by its very medicinal nature, was antiviral. And we need God to purge us, to sprinkle us with hyssop. And they would take the hyssop, they would dip it in the blood. And if you had leprosy, they would take that hyssop, the Israelites would, and they would dip it in the blood of the animal and sprinkle you with it. Cleaning you. The hyssop sent a message and the blood sent a message. And that blood has a double meaning, as I hope to talk about a little bit later. See, a virus can kill you. A virus can kill your computer. And the virus of sin can destroy you. And so David is saying, hey, as if I've got leprosy that's eating me away, this sin is eating me away, purge me with hyssop. He said, it's bothering me so much, it's messing with my mind. See, when a person had leprosy, they would separate, and the law said they must be separated from the congregation, as if they were hiding away. He had the leprosy of sin on him, and he was so ashamed and so guilty that he just wanted to go and hide like a leper. But he understood that that's not how God wanted him. He understood there was nothing he could do about it to de-sin himself or de-leprotize himself. So he says, purge me, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Then I could come out from under all of this guilt and all of this pain of my past. Are you seeing the picture that David is painting by his own life experience? This is not some theory or some doctrine. This is a man who loved God, who knew it was wrong, who sinned, who had a sinful nature. And he's asking for forgiveness. Not just any old kind of forgiveness, but a deep cleansing. So you can get clean, but sometimes you need a deep cleansing. Sometimes you need a clay bar cleansing. If you ever wax your car, anybody ever clay bar their car? Okay. You ever wash your car? No. Okay. I've clay barred cars in the past. And what it does, it's just clay. And what it does, you rub it over the surface, and it takes out all the embedded, pollution and grit that you don't even know is there. You run that across there, and boy, I didn't know that was there. This is what David's saying, purge me, cleanse me, clay bar me. Run it over me. I want to get rid of this. It's killing me. What about us? Do we have that same kind of intensity? David just didn't say, oh, forgive me, Lord. Yeah, I know I lied. I shouldn't have lied. I confess. I'm on the top line. I'll stop stealing. Stop looking at this and that. And that. No, this was deep. Do we go that deep with our repentance? Knowing we've sinned against God. Knowing we have grieved his heart. Knowing that sin kills. If you couldn't go to the bathroom for 10 days, would you take that lightly? Nobody in the house could either. But then why do we go without repenting? Repentance ought to be a way of life because it's a way we're made free and clean. Yes, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus in one sense. But I'm going to show you something else even about that, even if it's during the Lord's Supper. Descend, purged. What is the source, though? What's the source? What's the source? You also need to be descendant. Who are you descend from? From whom do you descend? All of us have a descendant. And his name is Adam. And all who are of Adam need to be descended. And not only descended, we need something else. Because all in Adam die. All in Adam sin. We get Adam's sin and our sin, and we sin because of Adam, but we can't blame him because we did it knowing better. Who are you descended from? I'm not talking who your daddy. I'm not talking about who's your mother. I'm not talking about your grandfather. I'm talking about the one that God made, the one that God gave authority over all the earth to, and the one who knew better. Eve was deceived by the devil. She was deceived. Adam, you know he knew better. And therefore, all who have descended, I'm not spelling however you correctly spell descend, and don't ask me to spell it. I'm talking about D-E-S-I-N-N-E-D. That's why we're all sinners, because we have descended. Not D-E-C. D-I-S-I-N-N-E-D. From Adam. And here, Satan comes along and deceives Eve, and he deliberately sins and turns over his headship to the devil, who now becomes our head. The prince of the power of the air, Adam gave his authority over to the devil. So now we have descended from Adam, and we are descending from the devil. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Who's your head? See, he came to deliver us not only from our sins in Adam, but also deliver us to unconnect us from the devil. You read Ephesians 2, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We not only, he comes to free us and take us out of Adam, he also comes to free us from the devil, who Adam gave control over the whole earth. Got to see this. Got to see this whole picture about sin. I'm not telling you to blame your sins. You know, like old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Now you did it. But the devil certainly inspires you. The devil doesn't want to let you go. See, this is I want us to look at this thing of sin very, very deeply, because it is a matter of life. It is a matter of death. And either we're in the kingdom of darkness with Darth Vader. Darth Vader. Or of Jesus Christ. Either Adam, you have descended from him, or now you have been disconnected from him and placed into Christ as our head. That is the only way we can be cleansed and purged from our sins, because it goes deep and is long in history. Purge me with hyssop. With hyssop. Cleanse me. Remember the Passover? What was God's instruction to the Israelites? He said, take, right, blood of a lamb and put it on the doorposts. What was he saying? I believe he's saying that it is through the blood that you're cleansed, because hyssop is the cleanser. He was not just saying you will escape from death if you do this and put your faith in it. I think it's much bigger and much deeper. He's saying not only will you get out of Egypt, I'm trying to get you out of sin. And the only way you can be cleansed is by me. You can't go back and redo it, but I can purge you. I can wipe it away. I can cleanse you. So they put the blood on the doorpost. They dip it in the blood, put it on the doorpost. Blood cleansing? Hyssop cleanser? But blood has a dual meaning. I'm going to save that. Save that intention for a little while. Because blood can also, I'll say it now, defile. You look in the law in the Old Testament. I don't know why God did it this way, but if a woman was during her cycle, she was considered unclean. There are often things in Scripture that, wait a minute, this seems like a contradiction, but God's trying to teach us a lesson. When the children of Israel complained and murmured, and lost faith, and God brought serpents to destroy them. Remember that? And Moses cried out and he says, take the serpent and put him on a pole. And when they looked to the serpent, they were healed. Wait a minute. The serpent was killing them. And now they look to the serpent and the serpent, they're healed by God. A person can be defiled by blood. We're told not to drink blood. It defiles the youth ceremony or the woman, blah, 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 blah. And yet we're told to drink blood at the at the Lord's Supper. What's up with that? I can't explain what all is up with that. Except by one thing. And I'll say that maybe during the Lord's Supper if I don't have much time left. Why? I'll save that. Egypt, a type of what? Sin. They're in slavery. Sin will make you a slave. Not just to addiction. I've done it over and over. But in other ways. It affects your mind, it affects your whole being. That's why you need to be purged. Only God can do that. Egypt was a type of sin, and God was taking them out of sin. And Egypt was ruled by who? Pharaoh, who was a type of what? The devil, Satan, that Adam just gave his rulership over to. I don't want to lead no more, God. I don't want to be whatever he was thinking. You can have it, the devil. But the devil got it, however, he turned it over to him. And only the second Adam can take it back. So here we have then Satan the devil, even after God brought him out, he comes after them. You have to remember that you are no longer a slave in Egypt. You are a child of God. The devil is no longer your daddy. He never was. He never was meant to be. Don't give him the control and the power that he does not have. For he will bring you back into sin. And I want to talk about a little ways, if I have time, how he does that. You're no longer a slave to sin. Let's talk about it now. You're no longer a slave to thinking about what happened. Because you can't what? Unsin yourself. But he wants you to think about what happened to you. He wants to think about what you did. He wants to bind you in shame. Like a leper who hides away from everyone because you don't want to be seen because of the shame, and he's cleansed you. He's purged you. Deeply purged you and cleansed you of all of that. But he comes back and he says, you know. See, even devil plays that no stuff. But you know lies. And you're used to living in those lies, that you're no good, that you're this or you're that. And you say, you know, you're right. Don't agree with the devil. And you're comfortable with where he has taken you and the life he had in it. That's why the Israelites said it was better we were slaves in Egypt. At least we had some onions and taters and stuff and some chicken nuggets. Listen, some fries, you know. But you were slaves. But you get used to being a slave. Holy Spirit is there to tell us that we're no longer slaves, but we're now children of God. But it's not enough to be purged. Let's get into being filled. Let's get into that. God not only purges us, gives us that spiritual enema from sin, if you please, but he makes us, chapter 51, verse 7, whiter, he says, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean, but I need something else, God. I need to be washed so that I am whiter than snow. You know, when you are purged, something is taken away. But he says, I need something that is stronger than white. Something stronger and whiter than snow. And frankly, snow, if you've been in the north where you've had a little snow, listen, it's not clean. It falls with a lot of contaminants. Don't make you into some snow cone oven and start licking it with some sugar on it. No. Especially live in New Jersey. Those of you on the East Coast know what I mean by Jersey. You got all those refineries, so don't you dare eat that snow. And then it's falling, and all it is doing is covering up, right? What's under the snow? See, God wants to go deep. After a while, that snow is, even around here when it snows, you know, it's brown and black. The dogs have peed on it. Don't, it's nasty. You need more than a purging. You need more than white. You need something that's whiter than white, whiter than snow. What is that? Cleaner than clean. What is that? Better than a do-over. Better than going back and doing it over. Because guess what? If you have not been purged, you're going to do the same thing over again. If you have not been filled, you're going to do the same thing over again. David is claiming by faith something beyond purging, something beyond being descended, something beyond his sinful acts. He is claiming, he is calling out to God for a righteousness beyond his own. For a righteousness that is a holiness that is beyond where he was before he sinned and needing purging. You have to be purged by faith and then filled by faith. A righteousness that is righteousness that is from someplace else. Snow comes from heaven, from the heavens. But I'm talking about some snow that comes from the third heaven. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Romans 3 and verse 21. This is what David looked for. He looked for it by faith. He saw it from afar. Verse 21. But now a righteousness, a whiteness from God. White is a symbol of purity. Now a purity from God that is apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. David was testifying of this whiteness, this righteousness, this purity that was to come apart from the law. This righteousness from God comes through faith. So this is being filled with the righteousness of Jesus. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. David believed. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the gospel, that God not only purges our sins of the past, present, and future, but he fills us with something that is more righteous than righteous, whiter than snow. And it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he fills us with. Without that filling, as I said, you will go and do the same thing. You'll be back, God cleanse me, God purge me. And yes, you still will sin, but not like that. And not depending on your righteousness, but his righteousness. Purge and forgiveness not enough. You got to be filled with the righteousness of Christ. And you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, whiter than snow is holiness. Whiter than white is holiness. Holiness means separate, sanctified, totally other than anything you could do. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. If not that, you will be filled with sin. It's either one or the other. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus talked about the devil. I talked about the devil. Jesus is pictured as, in that whole chapter, as the strong man who comes in and binds the devil. Cast out the devil. But he says in verse 43, if he comes back and he finds the house empty, not filled, it's been purged. But he comes back and finds it empty. Then he brings back seven more. And he says, and then the person's state is worse than before. Therefore, you need to be purged and then filled with the righteousness of Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Because if not, you're going to have some unholy spirits up in there. And you're all defiled again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of depression, of down, of guilt, of shame. And the devil uses the very thing he's tempted you with to bind you with. And that is shame and guilt. You're just like a spiritual leper. And he'll bring all kinds of thoughts of your past. He will bring all kinds of, look, you failed again. You call yourself a Christian. You begin to doubt your salvation. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'm not. Because you're looking in the wrong place. David did not look to his own performance and righteousness. He said, I need something that's whiter than my righteousness, whiter than my snow, whiter than my white. And he looked in faith from a righteousness that came from God. What shall we say to this? Purge. Ask God to purge you in faith and fill you. Fill you with his Spirit. Fill you with his righteousness. We must fill our minds with the things of God, not of the things of this world. Fill your mind with the Word of God that tells you who you are. As the song says, I am who you say I am, not who the devil says you are. And you won't know who you are if you don't put your mind in the Word of God. And you won't be able to bring every thought under submission. Even the thoughts you thought that. The devil suggested it to you. Try a little of this. Try a little of that. Try a little fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go back and let's examine what you did. Let's go back where you're comfortable, where you're down, depressed. Really? You say, Pastor, how'd you get all this stuff? I've experienced it. I'm not preaching some theory to you. I'm preaching to you about some of even the struggles I have with my mind and battles I have with the devil. Fill your mind with the truth. Stop complaining. Why this God? Why that God? Right? Rather than praising, analyze yourself. When those people in 1 Corinthians, it says, 10, those things happen to them for us. When those snakes rose up, start biting them, what were they doing? They were complaining. And a complaint is an indictment of God. God, you don't know what you're doing. I should not be in this situation. You say you're in control, but why am I like this? It is not an affirmation of faith. You see, in the things we don't understand, in the difficult times, we should not complain, because that's when the snakes come up and start biting you. And you have to look to the one who's on that stake, put the serpent on the stake and look to it. I'm going to tell you later what that means. But praise. God, I don't understand it, but in this moment, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to reject all the lies that are coming from the enemy. And I'm bringing them captive to the word of God. Bring every thought to the captive word and glorify God. Be filled with the Spirit. Praise God in every situation. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And be filled. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't give the devil a foothold. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 4, forgive, accepting God's forgiveness as you forgive others. Unforgiveness sometimes masks itself in feeling sorry for yourself. You ever feel, I felt sorry for myself. Oh, God. No. You know, pity party rather than a praise party. Put a praise on it. Come on. Yeah, right? You know, put a praise on it. The devil can't stand praise. He lives in depression. He lives in gloom because he knows he can't have a do-over. He knows he cannot be descend, but you can. You can be descend from him and from Adam, and you can be filled with the righteousness of Christ. Praise God. Ask God. And tell God, I need you to help me do this. I can't do it. I'm looking for that righteousness that is from above. And that's what God promises us. He promises us, I will purge you and I will fill you. And you can live in victory, not in defeat. Amen? Father, we thank you for the hope and the promises. We're standing on the promises of Christ our Lord, our champion, our strong man who's come in and defeated the devil and rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light. We're no longer slaves to sin and defeat, but we are children of God. Help us to live that way. Because Father, frankly, I could give this sermon and go home and not live it right or live it at all. I confess to you, Father, that I need you. And that's what David, I follow your example in David. When he said, God, you wash me. God, you purge me with hyssop. You do it. God, you make me whiter than white through the righteousness of Jesus. And help us to walk in faith, appropriate these truths, and walk it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, those words from the sermon, what a great hope God's given us. And the question I have for you, it's what seals them as truth? What assurance do we have that this is what God will do? Is that assurance in the blood? I want to ask for a show of hands. You must answer that. Is that assurance in the blood? Is that what guarantees that God will purge us, and to be more specific, that will make us whiter than snow? I don't believe it is. I'm out of here right now. Where's my coat? Where's my hat? I don't believe it is. Hang with me. Hang with us. We're going to eat of the body and drink of the blood of Jesus. Both are condemned in the Old Testament. Both are condemned. But yet, they are the guarantee of all the promises of God, of our forgiveness and our filling, of us being children of God. We're going to do something that at first sight seems contrary to the law of God. We realize that no amount of praising God, no amount of reading the Bible, if you could live a sinless life, you're still going to hell. All the singing of the angels in heaven praising God, we're still going to hell. Even God cannot save us. My wife's there. No. God had to become man to save us. The incarnate Word, the Word in flesh. But I submit to you that even the Word in flesh can save us. Not even his sinless life can save us. Not him overcoming the devil can save us. Not him being despised and rejected, spat upon, saves us. No, not even his beating with many stripes saves us. Not even his death saves us. He could have died any kind of way, but somewhere Paul said something about cursed, or the scripture says something about is cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Not even his blood upon the cross. Come with me, and let's answer the question about why, when the serpents at the sin and rebellion of Israel was biting them, they put a serpent on a stick, on a stake, and had the people look to. And when they looked to the serpent on the stake, they were healed. This thing of drinking that which the Bible itself says we should not drink blood. We're defiled if we do so. Come with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. In verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God. This is not from us. This is not a righteousness from us, but a righteousness from heaven, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. In other words, whiter than snow. And he's committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How? Is it through the blood? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. This is what saved us. You can technically say, oh, it was through the blood. But it was the blood of somebody who was on an accursed tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs from the tree. It was through him becoming this sinless sacrifice that we sung about. It was because he became accursed for us. He became sin for us. Whiter than snow. He had to become dirtier than snow. He had to become the opposite of white, which was a symbol of purity. This is what saved us. He had to be sin for us. Not just shedding his blood. Oh, yeah, you can look at the whole thing as the sacrifice, yes. But I'm getting to the nitty-gritty. He became cursed. He became sin. That's why the serpent on the stake in the wilderness, he had to become sin. The serpent was the father of sin. He had to take all of the sin. He didn't take Satan's sin. He took our sin, whom Satan deceived and brought us into bondage so we could be free. He became sin for us. Are you getting it? Are you seeing it? That's why the serpent on the stake, that when they had been bitten by serpents, they looked to one who had become sin for their healing. We looked to the one who became our sin. And the very thing it's accursed for you to drink. He says, drink it. Drink it. Because that's the way I cleanse you. By becoming sin. Don't take that lightly. The one who never sinned, who was a spotless sacrifice, became sin, the epitome of the sin. And all the sins of all of the billions and billions and hundreds of billions of people who've ever lived were put on him. Imagine that. That's why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because he was cursed. Think about the enormity of that. And ask yourself, is that enough for me? Is that enough when he took it all for me to be at peace with my past? For me to let go what he has taken upon himself. What more can we ask of him but to become sin for us? And then it says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's the only way. Only way. That he who knew no sin became sin for us. Oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what freedom. Oh, what joy of our salvation. Father in heaven, our God, thank you so much that you so loved us. That you cursed your Son, made him a symbol of sin, so that we could have his righteousness. We don't have words to express our thanksgiving. But bless us to experience and to know, even when we can't experience it, the love that you have for us. The great thing you did for us. We sing to you, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And yet we don't think about how that holiness was turned to sin, though he knew no sin. As we ask ourselves and examine ourselves, what more could he have done? Isn't it enough to make us free? As we drink the blood, as we eat the body, fill us with the righteousness that he paid for. And Holy Spirit, empower us to live in that righteousness in great appreciation of him becoming a curse and a sin for us, and washing us and then filling us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let me reveal who I am. is the lake.